This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. The lead stories are 5 bills to break up big tech, a wooden satellite. Yes, a wooden satellite is going to be put up in space. In Ireland, Irish police can compel you to reveal your password. And Luna Gaming by Amazon coming on Prime Day. I want to welcome you to episode 1534 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, June 14th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Hey, I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Make sure you get over to GeekNewsCentral.com. Check out all the great content on the website and get subscribed to the podcast. It's right there in the right-hand column of the website. You want to get subscribed to the newsletter while you're there as well so that you can get all the latest news and information delivered directly to your inbox immediately following this show. So definitely check that out. Of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server, our Discord channel. Of course, you can always contact me. It's very, very simple via email, geeknews@gmail.com. And I'm also on Twitter at Geek News, and of course on Facebook. We're live on Facebook today, along with Twitch, Twitter, a whole bunch of different places. So if you're catching the show live for the first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. But again, most of the interaction happens on Facebook. Partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. That includes a new media show, the Pro Gear Guru site, the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the GNC Week in Review by Kirk Corliss, our executive producer of this show. So definitely check it out. Everything we're doing here, lots of things happening. Of course, this show has the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. It's real important this month that you guys step up. We need your help to make sure that we hit our quota. And so I've got deals for you that are ongoing. 30% off a new product purchase, $499.com or new or transfer domains for new customers. We've got $1 a month economy hosting for the first year of the free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting first year with a free domain. Again, two great deals. $1 a month managed WordPress hosting, $12 get you started, get you online with the domain and everything. And again, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year of the free domain. What's the difference between the two? Well, on the economy hosting, you still can load WordPress, but it's not managed. And you can still load all kinds of other software. On the managed WordPress site, it is a WordPress site. So just be aware of that. But $1 a month gets you going. Buy two. $12 gets you started. $24 gets you on two different sites for the first year. Of course, pay attention to ongoing year's cost when you go and to the checkout lane. Of course, you can get a free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. Again, all of these deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to take advantage of it. Save money, help the show, support the show. On average, listeners of this podcast save about between 80 and 90% on their products and purchase. Now, if you pick something up that's using just that 30% off code, that's typically where the 80 and 90% savings comes in is on the hosting deals. The $499.com, that's about a 50% savings. And then 30% on other products and services is just that. It's just a straight 30% off. And again, all these codes are at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to take advantage of it. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And of course, welcome everyone to the show. Thanks for being here. Thank our friends again at Audimute.com that does the sound design for this studio at Audimute.com. Check them out. So what's happening? Well, the weather literally broke just an hour before the show kicked off here. Pouring rain, thunder, lightning. It was fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. And the temperature dropped about 15 degrees. This weekend was hot and sweaty, high humidity, but it's, not going to complain. Join the weather, really big time. Having some challenges. I think I talked about on the last show with some air conditioning units. So the air conditioning guy is about ready to come and make an install. It's costing a lot of money, but that's what happens when you have an old aging system for a cooler. But that is not here nor there. But yeah, it was interesting. So this afternoon, I wrapped up with my appointments just a little bit early. And I've been needing groceries. And there's Aldi's right around the corner. So I haven't been in there. And I went in, and I don't know what the fascination with this place is, because I was totally underwhelmed. It's like three aisles, maybe four, of stuff. And just wasn't that impressed. I was impressed with some of the pricing on like chicken salad sandwich and that kind of stuff was about half the price and double the amount as Meijer's. So there was still a few deals I could find in there, but I picked up a few things and went to Meijer's and ran through there and picked up everything else I needed and come back and stuffed everything in the refrigerator that needs to stay cold. But I'm trying something new. For those of you that are watching, I'm trying to survive on iced tea. I figure it's summer, time to drink iced tea, and a little caffeine hit. So this is what's in my new orange and black mug of some sorts. It's supposed to keep things cold for 24 hours. It's been about two, so let's see where we're at. Okay, it's still cold, so I'll let you know the outcome. I bet you I come in here tomorrow, it'll be warm, but supposed to keep things cold for 24 hours. Well, anyway, that's what's going on. But I got a lot of news to talk about tonight. A lot of stuff that Kirk has dug out. I found one of two things on TechBeam tonight that I didn't, that Kirk missed that I wanted to cover. But this first story, I'm going to be kind of frank. We put a lot of stuff into space. A lot of stuff. CubeSats, all kinds of small little satellites. And most of this stuff will likely disintegrate. Not disintegrate. Will likely deorbit over time. But there is this group called WESA. And I had to look, be honest with you. I looked at this twice because I couldn't believe it. The first wooden satellite aims to prove plywood can survive space brutalities. WoodSat will take plywood to new heights in orbit later this year. Again, I question why. The WESA WoodSat is a 4-inch, 10-centimeter square satellite that's scheduled for a fall launch on a Rocket Lab Electron rocket in New Zealand. Getting to orbit is the only part of the venture. Once there, the team will monitor the little cube to see how its plywood build stands up to cold, heat, radiation, and a vacuum of space. I'm just kind of like, really? Why? This is kind of dumb, in my opinion. They're going to put some sensors in it. They're just doing this to do this. But why? We know what's going to happen. If Elon Musk put a vehicle into space and sent it out on a, you know, outbound journey, do you think the fate of this is not going to be much better? The base material for plywood is birch, and we're using basically just the same thing as you'd find in a hardware store or to make furniture. The plywood used in the satellite has been dried out and treated to give it a better chance of standing up to space conditions. WoodSat's team expects the interior to darken, but will also be looking to see if any cracks develop while in orbit. If WoodSat performs well, it could spur a new look at wood as a possible material for use in space. WoodSat is simply a beautiful object in terms of traditional Nordic design and simplicity. It should be very interesting to see it in orbit. Wow. I wonder who gave them their grant. Did the wood industry give them their grant? That's the question of the day. Irish police will have the power to compel people to provide passwords for electronic devices when carrying out a search warrant under new legislation. The change is part of the Garda Síochána bill published by the Irish Justice Minister Heather Humphreys said on Monday. This will enable data to be collected so the effectiveness and use of the powers can be assessed. Special measures will be introduced for suspects who are children and suspects who may have impaired capability. The bill will bring in longer detention periods for the investigation of multiple offenses being investigated together for a maximum of up to 48 hours. It will also allow for a week's detention for suspects in human trafficking offenses, which are currently subject to a maximum of 24-hour detention. So I think what they're doing here is they are having a very difficult time getting access to electronics that are encrypted, like your iPhone, like your iMac or your Apple, you know, your MacBook. Everything is encrypted. Yet we'll have a story about some of those limitations later. But they will compel you to provide passwords. You have to give it to them. I wonder what if you don't? What will happen then? I guess you'll sit in jail. So this is it's an interesting move. It really, really is. This is the first I think I've seen of this, but maybe other countries have these laws as well. Does anyone else know? If you live outside of the United States, Canada, and the UK, if you know where, of course, the UK, anyway, you know what I'm saying. Where else does that take effect? There's big news out of the, out of Washington, D.C. Five new bills aim to break up big tech platforms and force them to play nice. Apple, Google, Facebook, and Amazon would struggle to evade new regulations. Now, we don't know if these are going to make it through. All it takes is a few dissenters. So here's the proposals. The five bills all attempt to address issues that have arisen as various platforms have grown in power. One bill, known as the American Choice Innovation Online Act, forbids platforms from favoring their own products and services like Amazon Prime. It would also stop companies from using private data to get a leg up on the competition. It would prevent them from kicking competitors off a platform or harming competitors by restricting their ability to access or interoperate with the same platform operating system hardware. And software features available to the covered platform operators own products and services. In other words, sounds like that I, Joe Company, would be have exactly the same tools that Amazon would on offering their Amazon Essential products. The bill would levy significant penalties against companies that fail to comply. The greater than 15% of the company's average daily revenue or 30% of average daily revenue of the offending line of business. Apple also would appear to be most affected by this bill, though Google, Facebook, and Amazon even Apple would appear to be most affected by this bill, though Google, Facebook, and even Amazon would not be exempt. By ensuring the interoperability, the legislation would require each platform owner to open their software to competitors to some degree. An example of this would be Apple iOS and its tie-ins with Apple Music. Of course, Spotify has sued the company in the EU on antitrust grounds, and while Apple has been slowly allowing rival music services access to more system services like SIRI, there's still no way to supplant Apple's music as the default player. Now, Google's ad marketplace would be impacted as well. The company's ad manager is already the subject of a settlement with the French competition authorities. Another bill, the Ending Platform Monopolies Act, would prevent large platforms, those with at least 50 million monthly active U.S. users and a market cap of $600 billion or more, from owning or operating businesses that would cause them to advantage their own products or services or disadvantage those of their competitors. App stores would be potential violators, but so would ad exchanges and music or video services. Another one, the Augmenting the Augmenting Compatibility and Competition by Enabling Service Switching Act would require platforms to guarantee some minimum standard of interoperability and data portability. Facebook would appear to be the target here, given that the social media profiles are basically impossible to port from one network to another. Another bill, the Platform Competition Opportunity Act, would require companies proposing mergers or acquisitions, not the government, to prove their cases. Affected companies have 50 million in active users or 100,000 monthly active sellers and profits or market cap of $600 billion. So this bill is the only one to include business users or seller accounts, which seems to single Amazon Marketplace. And the last bill is all about a grab for money. The Merger Filing Fee Modernization Act is the only one that aligns with bipartisan legislation proposed in the Senate. Legislation would significantly increase filing fees for mergers, directing the money to regulators and DOJ and the FTC to beef up their antitrust oversight capabilities. So these were all bipartisan bills. They each have Republican and Democrat sponsors. It's unclear if any of these bills will pass. The last one, the Merger Filing Fee Modernization Act, appears most likely at this point. So it's a relative incremental piece of legislation. But the fact that the other bills, which garnered bipartisan support in otherwise highly partisan House, suggests the major overhaul of antitrust law may be imminent, even if these specific bills don't survive. So they're gunning for them. They're coming. We'll see. We'll watch and see what happens. Amazon is going to open up Luna Cloud Gaming to Prime members between June 21st and the 22nd. So the Luna game service is offering no invite access on Prime Day. During that time, Prime subscribers in most of the U.S. will be able to start a 7-day Luna trial and can now get discounts on a Luna controller and Fire TV bundle. To access Luna currently, you must request invitation or own a supported Fire TV device. It's available on Windows and Mac PCs, Fire TV, iPhone, and iPad via the web, and on supported Android device. It costs $5.99 a month. It includes Resident Evil 7, Control, Tacoma, Res Infinite, and Metro Exodus. Amazon is discounting the dedicated Luna controller by 30%, reducing it to $49 from the list of $70. On top of that, it's offering Fire TV Stick 4K and Luna controller and Fire TV gaming bundle for $74. So just a heads up of that forthcoming. Still have not heard from Starlink. Still waiting on their invite. So patiently waiting here. Hey, we previewed these before, but the 2021 Doodle for Google winner finds strength and hope. After the death of his father, 11th grader Milo Golding created a charity focused on helping children cope with grief. So this is the Doodle for Google that wins. And there's a good write-up on that online and available for you to check out. Moving on here, we all have to be really, really careful. These times have changed. And you do not want to be the person at your company that is the result of ransomware. And here's the thing. Email is one of the exploits being used for people to basically have you click on something, to basically you be the launching point for a malware attack on a company that locks your systems down. So it may seem odd at first, but an email account is a gold mine for scammers. A hacker can do more than get their hands on your coveted chicken casserole recipe. They can cause damage to your identity and finances, and they can get to your computer. They can impersonate you. They can track passwords on other accounts. They can use it to check email based on two-factor authentication. They can collect sensitive information. They can steal your identity. Just a few things. They can even learn when you're out of your house. So be very, very careful. Reinforce the security of your email password and your authentication methods. Make sure you're using two-factor authentication for all of your email accounts. And if your work doesn't have two-factor authentication already, well, it's just a matter of time before something bad happens. So just be aware of that. That's just one of the many ways that you can be exploited And you can cause your company damage if your email address is exploited. One thing I did the other day was the Prime account I assigned to, I put it under primarily under Shoko's email address. And I forgot that I had AWS services tied to that account, and the billing got, it didn't get totally jacked up, but there was a little bit of time when I was kind of in a panic that I may have screwed myself and locked myself out of AWS. I was able to recover, but also remember what you have accounts tied to in a variety of different ways. So it's just one of those things that can happen. And just be aware that your email is the gateway to almost everything today. Now, we've already heard the news about the DOJ in 2018 subpoenaing Apple and others for information in regards to classified information that was leaked during the Trump administration. I know this is making a big whoop-de-doo in all of the email channels or all the news channels. But here's the thing. And we can understand that maybe some of that was political. But at the same time, let us also realize that when someone reveals classified information, and that opens up a can of worms, because often limited number of people will have access to that information. And when they're trying to figure out who leaked that information, they've got some pretty broad powers that they can use. And the DOJ subpoenaed Apple for data from an account belonging to Donald McGahn II, who at the time was a White House counsel for the president, according to reports Sunday from the New York Times. Apple was barred at the time from telling him about the subpoena, but was able to inform him last month. Citing a person briefed on the matter, Apple told McGahn that it would complied with the subpoena, but declined to tell him what it had provided to the government. So you wonder, with all this encryption Apple has, what did they give to the government? So it just goes to show compelling needs of the federal government and subpoenas coming down from high. Obviously, Apple has access to some of your data. I bet it was mostly email. That's what I'm suspecting. But time will tell on this if the rest of the story comes out. But I think that it's just a matter of time before. It's more than likely that some of these encryption standards that have been put in place are probably whittled away a little bit by the government. Time will tell. Hey, so I had never installed the new SIM card for my iPhone because it was required to get 5G. And Friday, I ventured into that because I was worried about provisioning. But there was another thing, too. My Apple Watch had disconnected for some reason from my phone, so got on the phone for Verizon, did the SIM swap out. I got my watch reestablished and was actually able to test some 5G speeds. And I was up in Battle Creek and where they had some 5G, both on T-Mobile and on Verizon. And Verizon gave me about 120 down with about 3 up, and T-Mobile gave me about 145 down with about 15 up. I was really, truly impressed. But according to a report from Android Central, AT&T maintains a narrow 5G speed lead, but T-Mobile is catching up, according to Root Metrics. And for the first time really truly experiencing it, they say that AT&T has the best everyday 5G download speeds in 85 tested markets, and T-Mobile has the greatest 5G availability and also has the biggest single speed result at nearly 200 megs. So I didn't see that. Verizon, though, according to this, has the most reliable network while gaining ground on AT&T's download speeds in several cities. But looks like right now, T-Mobile and AT&T are the leaders in 5G rollout. Of course, my connectivity issues at the house continue to really deteriorate. It really sucks. I think everyone was so hot because of the heat. Everyone was probably in surfing the internet, watching YouTube, Netflix chill, etc. over the weekend. And it was just, man, I can't wait for Starlink. I really can't. NASA and SpaceX aim for a Halloween launch for Crew 3 to the International Space Station. Trick or treat. Space is neat. Strap me in a Crew Dragon seat. And so anyway, Crew 3 will be follow on as part of NASA's Commercial Crew Program. NASA astronauts Raja Chari, Tom Mashburn, Kyla Barron, and European Space Agency astronaut Matthias Maurer are set to spend 6 months on the ISS, and they'll be flying on a new Crew Dragon spacecraft. So I think this will make the third Crew Dragon spacecraft that they got. The space dates slipped about a week from the original plan, but that's the next Crew launch, the International Space Station. I haven't been watching too much SpaceX news lately. I don't know if they've launched any Starlink satellites or not, but they were pretty much on pace about every week or every 2 weeks. So maybe it's just recycling time. All right. Are you a writer? There's an article over on MakeUseOf.com, the 7 best laptops for writers. And I'm always suspect on some of these things, but they cover the Google Pixel Go, the Google Pixel Book Go, the Microsoft Surface Pro 7, the Apple MacBook Air 2020 edition, the Dell XPS 13 2-in-1, and the Asus Chromebook Flip C434. And, of course, I'm sure the Apple MacBook Air is the most expensive one. Oh, they say the premium pick is the Google Pixel Book Go. So, again, if you're a writer, you're not a gamer, 7 best laptops for writers. Check this out. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. I'm lucky, knock on wood, I haven't been in the laptop market for a while. Verizon wants you vaccinated. So here's $180 AirPods Pro and other accessory discounts. So Verizon is joining several states offering financial incentives to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Customers who've gotten at least one dose can get a 10% discount on accessories from either its online or physical stores. To sweeten the deal even more, Verizon is letting customers stack that discount on top of sales prices, which can be used to get some pretty solid deals. It's unclear if or how you'll have to prove your vaccination status. For example, Verizon has AirPods Pro on sale until the June 20th, and the 10% discount brings them down to $180 from the normal price of $250. If you're more a fan of headphones, you can snag the discount. You'll be able to pick up Sony's delightfully named WH-1000 XMR4s for $270. The offer could also be a way to get a nice discount on a lower price item you've been considering. So it's an accessories. I don't think you can get this with phones. But the offer is also valid first responders, nurses, teachers, and military members. Any customers eligible have from June 15th to July 31st to fill out a questionnaire and receive their promo code, which can be redeemed until August 15th. So Verizon says that for whatever reason, accessories whose prices end with a 0.97 can't get the discount. So there you go. U.S. government has released NSA leaker Reality Winner into supervised custody. She spent 5 years in federal prison for her leak of classified information. Everyone's trying to get her a pardon right now, but she's in a work release facility. And so apparently she finishes up her sentence in November. And but she is on track for good behavior. That's why she's been in this new facility. So anyway, another classified information classified information leaker is now soon to be released. YouTube is banning alcohol, gambling, and politics from its most prominent ad slot. Starting today, ads for certain subjects won't show up in the masthead position. So I'm sure that doesn't, many of you probably don't care about that. But it's interesting that they've removed politics from its most prominent ad spot. This is kind of surprising to me. Pai's legacy lives on for now as Biden fails to nominate a Democrat to the FCC. His failure to fill empty FCC slot has consumer advocates increasingly worried. So the FCC's Communication 2-2 partisan deadlock is reaching a critical point. 57 advocacy groups wrote a letter to the president and vice president this past Friday. Nearly 5 months after his inauguration, the president has not yet nominated a Democrat FCC commissioner to fill the empty fifth slot. Democrat Jessica Rosenworcel has been leading the commission as acting chairman, but she lacks a majority needed to do anything opposed by the FCC's two Republicans, such as reinstating net neutrality rules and reversing former chairman Ajit Pai's deregulation of the broadband industry. Even a step like raising the FCC's broadband speed standard, which hasn't changed in 6 years, will likely require a party line vote because Republicans prefer a lower speed standard. For the FCC's annual report on how many Americans lack modern broadband access. So it's interesting. And of course, approval, Senate approvals takes months. Someone that was nominated back in March is just getting confirmed now. So, and it also probably messes with the president's broadband goals and restoring net neutrality. So why hasn't he nominated someone to the FCC? It is kind of curious, isn't it? Apple Watch Series 7 can include a new screen and updated ultra wideband tech. I think I'm still on Series 4. Matter of fact, the technician from Verizon asked me which series I had. I couldn't remember. I had actually look up the code to figure out which version I had. So, you know, you may have to wait a while for the new health features on Series 7. But Apple reportedly has grand plans for Apple Watch. And it's going to have updated ultra-wideband functionality. I'm not sure why you need that. But it'll be able, you can use existing technology to let you unlock hotel rooms and other doors. Leaker John Prosser recently claimed Apple is redesigning watch with a flat sides and new colors. Some prototypes include thinner bezels. He said Bloomberg didn't mention a case redesign, though, suggesting only that the wrist wear might be thicker. You know, one thing I can't seem to get through a full day wearing the Apple Watch now. I don't know what it is. It's just maybe the way I work or way I rest my hand. But, you know, there's some other features. The company supposedly wanted a body temperature sensor in the 2021 watch, but that doesn't expect to be ready until 2022. And you also have to wait until next year for the rugged Apple Watch variant, according to the source. And you might want to forget about blood sugar monitor to keep diabetes in check. That might not be ready for several more years. I'm going to tell you, the blood sugar thing, that's big. If they can get that in, it's big. It's really, really, really big. It's game changing. That's something they should really, really push for, in all honesty. Well, Microsoft Windows 10, its days are numbered. Microsoft will end Windows 10 support in October of 2025. The next version of Windows will be revealed next week on June 24th. So this is interesting. It will stop support for the current operating system on October 14th, 2025. That means Microsoft expects a transition to the next version of Windows, which it will show off on June 24th, to take around 4 years. The company quietly announced the news and support page update is spotted by one of the web writers. Previously, the page noted that when Microsoft would end support for certain versions of Windows 10, it now states that Microsoft started supporting Windows 10 Home and Pro in 2015 and reveals the operating system's retirement date. So as for what we're expecting from Windows 11 or what it's called, there'll probably be a redesign, including a revamped Windows Store. Microsoft recently canceled Windows 10X. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Seems like we've had Windows 10 for a long time, doesn't it? And running Windows 10 there. So it kind of scares me on that one. That one will stay in Windows 10 until it dies. How many of you use Stripe in your businesses? Stripe goes beyond payments with Stripe Identity to provide AI-based ID verifications for transactions and much more. A number of startups, at least four or five of them, have fashioned themselves as a Stripe for identity verification. But today, Stripe is stepping in to fill that need itself. This company is launching a new product called Stripe Identity, a self-service tool that companies can use to verify users' identities, with Stripe managing the customer data in an encrypted format using computer vision and machine learning to read and match up government IDs with live selfies. Stripe says the service works in as little as 15 seconds. The service is launching in beta today, starting in 30 countries. But in the meantime, it's already quietly been used by select partners, including Discord, Peerspace, which runs the ID verification when onboarding users and merchants, Shippo when it comes to identifying high-risk users and ask them to verify themselves and so on and so forth. So I went through one of those recently where I had to provide my driver's license as verification. It was more to prove that I had, as a military retiree, they actually said if you have a driver's license with a veteran status on it, to use that instead of your ID, which your military ID, which I thought was good because I don't like having, you know, scans of that out there somewhere. So it's kind of interesting that process, you know, again, it took about 30 seconds and it validated me. Interpol has shut down thousands of fake online pharmacies. So 113,000 web links, including websites and online marketplaces, were being closed down or removed. In the UK, in addition to the seizure of some 3 million fake medicine and devices worth more than US 13 million, authorities also removed more than 3,100 advertising links for the illegal sale and supply of unlicensed medicines and shut down 43 websites. So fake and unauthorized COVID-19 testing kits accounted for more than half of all medical devices seized, which resulted in 277 arrests worldwide and the seizure of potentially dangerous pharmaceuticals worth more than $23 million. So what are people buying on the web? Hypnotic and sedative medication, ED pills, medical devices, analgesic painkillers, anabolic steroids, antiseptics and germicides, anti-cancer medication, anti-malarials, and vitamins is what the majority of stuff is being purchased by people online. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Honda has linked arms with the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency to prepare humans for life in outer space with circulative renewable energy system. So basically, they've embarked on a joint feasibility study to supply oxygen, hydrogen, and electricity to human and rovers in outer space. This is all for the ongoing plan to go back to the moon. In addition to water and food that people need, as well as oxygen, as well as hydrogen for fuel and electricity, one of the solutions to obtain them in space without resupply from Earth is creating a circulated renewable energy system, which combines a high differential pressure water electrolysis system that produces oxygen and hydrogen using solar energy to electrolyze water and fuel systems that generate electricity and water from oxygen and hydrogen. A lot to say there. So they're leveraging a lot of the stuff that Honda's came up with already in energy storage. So we'll see what happens with this. So thinking about moving to the moon. Been wanting Echo Auto? It now brings ALEXA to your car dealership today. Or to your car cheap today, not your dealership. So the Echo's caught on in the market right away. Many of you have two or three of them in your house. Android Auto is tiny. It's a device about the size of a smartphone, and it can clip to an air vent on your vehicle. So you can pick one of these up for $14.99. And I don't know if they put, did Alan put a link? I don't see a link on the website to this. So. Anyway, that's available on Geek News Central. That link will be up in the show notes for you to check out, of course. Price cap broadband on hold for New York State after judge rules telcos would suffer unrecoverable losses. The injunction halts the introduction of a $15 a month monthly fee for low-income households. So we knew this new law that was due to come into force tomorrow. It was going to force broadband providers in New York State to provide net access to low-income households for $15 a month. A preliminary injunction was granted by United States District Judge Dennis Hurley on Friday after a string of trade bodies, including the New York State Telecommissions Association, the Broadband Association, launched the action on behalf of their members. The ruling notes that telcos and ISPs forced to impose price caps would suffer unrecoverable losses increasing with time, and the bulk of these losses will stem from lost income. So, no cheap internet in New York for low-income households, at least for now. The Supreme Court has given LinkedIn, well, actually not LinkedIn, the Supreme Court has given LinkedIn's competitors another chance. Basically, it's been struck down that that companies can scrape data off of websites. And it's because of a recent June 4th decision by the Supreme Court that restricted the scope of Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which is a federal anti-hacking law that blocks access to a computer without authorization. That particular ruling, the Supreme Court has made the decision that a person can't be guilty of misusing information if they had permission to use the computer in question, this time being the web. So this all started in 2017 when LinkedIn accused HIQ of scraping LinkedIn's public profiles. HIQ would then use the data to create algorithms that could predict when employees might leave jobs. LinkedIn said HIQ was in violation of the anti-hacking law. So this prevents LinkedIn from blocking HIQ. And they're going to have to go back to court. So we will see. Oh, LinkedIn has made its case to the Supreme Court. So we'll see where this leads to. And time will tell if they get a ruling out. Those of you that belong to the Teamsters, a ransomware attack hit the Teamsters in 2019, but they refused to pay. The FBI advised the union to just pay the ransom, according to sources, but union officials chose to rebuild their computer network instead. Instead of agreeing to the negotiated $1.1 million settlement with the hackers, they basically said, hey, no, we're not going to do it. And, but this is just one company of many that never made the news on these ransomware attacks, someone that fought back. All right, many of you probably have SSDs in your computers, and obviously you all have at least a hard drive at a minimum in your computers. But what should you do when it comes time to retire that computer or sell it? Or if you pulled a hard drive out and got a different one, how do you erase it so nothing can be recovered from it? Well, the folks over at PC World have got a good tutorial on how to do this and how to securely erase your hard drive or SSD. It's a good how-to, and many of you probably have hard drives laying around. My advice is always that when in doubt, use a sledgehammer. Smash them, break them up, take the lids off, and then smash them with a sledgehammer 3 or 4 times, and you'll be good to go. $28 million scores mystery bidder's right to breathe same air as Amazon kingpin Jeff Bezos in Blue Origin flight. So that was the final bid. Bidding for a seat to accompany the billionaire began in the low millions and stood a shade under $5 million by the end of last week. An auction on Saturday resulted in a final ticket price more than 5 times higher at $28 million. Wow. Now, that cash will not go anywhere in Amazon's coffers, but it will be donated to Blue Origin's foundation and Club for the Future. So $28 million to the foundation. But... So we'll find out who won that. So we'll see. We'll see if it will be publicly announced. And finally today, I've never knew about this site. It's called The Walrus.ca. And it's about the double exploitation of deep fake porn. And what's a deep fake? Well, that's where someone's face is replaced in an ad or a video. And it basically makes them look like it's the person in question. You know, mainstream media has been reporting on deep fakes for a while now, but it's really moved into the porn industry quite heavily. 96% of deep fakes involve sexually explicit scenes. There are thousands of clips in which the faces of celebrities or even underage women have been superimposed onto the bodies of adult film stars. Porn deepfakes are also features of face of non-famous individuals, ex-wives, ex-girlfriends, high school crushes. We know that a lot of folks have been affected. In this February, the MIT Technology Review reported on a UK woman named Helen Mort, who had been warned that she, or rather her face, lifted from various social media accounts had surfaced on a porn site, pasted onto a violent sex act. Such deepfakes, it should be said, are often not aiming to fool viewers. For one thing, the technique has frequently resulted in sloppy overlays with blurry edges and pixelated mouths. But realism isn't the point, according to the media scholar. Porn deepfakes are almost always labeled fabrications, with some creators taking pride in them as a kind of fan fiction or media remix. So lots of discussions about this and what's going on and how this technology is going to, you know, advance over time, and how this is going to be very, very hard to stop. So a very, very interesting article. Link will be up in the show notes. So definitely check that out. Okay, we're going to get to the end of the show here. Yes, relatively short podcast today. The tech news is a little slow. And see if I had anybody email in. Let me get on the right email account. My email's been relentless. And PR people are getting real good at, how should I say it, doing fake out emails. And, but none of them got by me because I didn't get any emails today. So those of you watching, you like the new blueberry light behind me? I'd love to hear your comments on it. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right. So let's get out of here. Another show's in the can. Be back with you on Thursday. And then, of course, another show on Monday of next week. But then I'll be down in Columbus. So the Thursday show is in question. I'll figure out what's going on with that. Depends on what time I get out of the office, or, you know, I don't know. They're talking about maybe even staying on Friday. So I've got to figure that out. But anyway, we'll get it all locked in. I guess that's the best way to figure out what the schedule is. But another show on Thursday, another show on Monday here from the studio, and then at least one remote, well, potentially one remote from Columbus, maybe not. I don't know. We'll do the new media show there for sure. But other than that, it's going to be a wrap. Everyone take care. We want to thank you for being here. Definitely consider supporting the sponsor. It's greatly appreciated when you do. It helps the show a great deal. Allows me to pay the light bill, insurance bill, everything else that's going on. So geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, those of you that are insiders, yes, I know. I think you're probably losing faith in me, but the Insider Podcast is coming. Do appreciate it. And all of your ongoing contributions is really, really greatly appreciated. I thank you so very much. All right, everyone, we'll see you next time here on the podcast. Take care. Be safe out there. Watch out. Take care of your loved ones, your pets and dogs. All right, everyone, see you next time. All right, bye-bye.